your sheep sheepdog thing was a very good analogy.
Is he going to wear glossers tomorrow?
You guys might not have heard my sheepdog analogy. If her sheepdogs didn't play together, her sheep would be in Farson.
And if you lose in Farson, you never come home.
Don't come home.
That's right.
Don't come home.
So, Kat, something to ponder, not for this year, but for another year with Predator Board funding. Mm-hmm. What if the commissioners made our funding contingent upon the Predator Board increasing the brand fee? How would that, what would be your board's thoughts on that? To give them cover to do it? I mean, the producers I've talked to, you know, everybody likes free stuff, but a lot of them say would support that.
Here's the case. To the Predator Board meeting to say that. I'm sorry.
Here's the catch. Is you may have, let's say there's 100 producers in this county, just as a reference. How many of them are part of the Predator Board program? I would say a third.
Anybody that pays for brand inspection.
But they may have to pay in because it's mandated. But do they utilize that service? No. So the ones that aren't utilizing the service absolutely refuse to raise the fees. The ones that are using the service are okay with raising the fees. But there's a significant amount of ranchers that are, we take care of our own problems, don't bother us. And they don't want to pay into that fee. And I've heard that over and over.
That's kind of like county roads in a county. A lot of us wouldn't want to pay into that if you don't live on a county road.
Right.
If you live on it and use it.
That's fine, but that's the hurdle you've got to get across. Is
same thing with
you're not using that service.
I don't golf.
Same thing.
So go ahead and elaborate on that.
Well, no, I don't know the number of cooperators that we have. I would have to get that from Wildlife Services. And I wrote a note, and I will absolutely do that.
And I could be way off on my estimation. But
and then, so the thing is that some people will also receive benefit from control that occurs right here, and they're right here, even if they aren't a cooperator, you know. And then some people also forget that, that they aren't involved in it until they have a wolf problem, or until that they have ravens and magpies on their feed lines and stuff. And when they call Wildlife Services, they're calling us. That's the Predator Board.
Oh,
that's how that happens.
I understand all that.
Yeah.
And I get all
but
that.
But I don't know the numbers.
But that's a concern that's out there.
Absolutely.
And a
absolutely
perception that's out there. Just,
well, when's your next, you only meet twice a year, when's your next meeting?
Well, our July budget meeting, which is a half hour prior to your budget hearing. So.
Oh, so we can't be two places at one time.
We're having our meeting in your chairs half hour before you do.
You're walking out when we're walking
that's
in.
That's exactly what happens.
That's what happens. It's the way it works.
Well, you know, maybe you ought to plan on a 3-hour meeting, and I would recommend Commissioner Vickery and Commissioner Bowsman go to that meeting.
For 3 hours prior to this one?
I mean, you got questions.
No, I don't have any questions.
So,
let me tell you what.
But Tom and Doug were both there for, that was a 3-hour meeting in December.
They had the whole room full.
Yeah.
It was a filled room.
Yeah.
I sat there.
Yeah.
There was a lot of really good discussion.
There was. It was great.
And there was, everybody was cordial.
Mm-hmm.
And all the concerns were brought up. There was no solution to any of them, mm-hmm. which is normal.
I didn't mean to. I thought we were killing time. I wouldn't have brought that up.
We're good at it. All right.
A plus there.
Let's start with.
Okay. Good afternoon, commissioners.
Yeah.
So I came back to work after I left work yesterday, and I ran. This is the same report, just this is all the back stuff. And the numbers don't tell the whole story, as I'm sure you're all aware. This is a busy time of year for us. November is also a busy time of year for us. December is a busy time of year for us. March is a busy time of year because that's when several of our big companies, gas companies, do their registrations. So that's a busy time of year. January is busy because that's when we do all of our mobile machinery stickers. So we have peaks and lulls, and this shows the yellow is the registrations that we do per month. The green is the sales tax receipts that we process per month, and that includes title fees, so that goes next door to the clerk's office. And then the blue is property tax payments that we take. And I went back to 2017, so there's what we've done through this year, what we did through 18, and what we've done through 17. But that's not the whole story. So let me begin by saying what we've done to try to eliminate some of the daily processes that we do that get in the way of helping customers. We've changed our schedule around so that we have someone that comes in early in the morning and does our balancing from the day before so that that doesn't keep us from having that happen in the afternoon. We used to do it at 3 in the afternoon. Sometimes it takes 2 or 3 hours to get balanced if we have problems. So that has eliminated shutting down at 3 o'clock on one drawer and having people be stuck at their desk trying to balance. We tried working next door with the clerk's office to try to eliminate the back and forth shuffle. That was just, it was so hard to get the stuff done at our desk, so we had to eliminate that. But we have started sending them next door, getting their title work done first, and then they only have to come back to our office once where we do the sales tax and the registration at one time rather than sales tax and then title and then registration where we have to deal with them twice. It's eliminated that back and forth a little bit. So we've done a couple of things in the last 4 months or so to try to change things so that we have a little bit more time to get stuff done. But the end result is that we're still so stretched with all of the daily reports that we do, all the monthly reports that we do. For instance, a phone call can cost 2 or 3 hours worth of time. And you never know when they're going to come in. They just sort of come in, they fall on your lap, and then you have to deal with them. And then on top of it, trying to get your stuff done at the counter, trying to get your stuff done at your desk. So we're just, the numbers are not the definitive answer because there are certain times of year where we are definitely busier than other times of year. But those reports that we do monthly and the reports that we do daily, the dealings we have with the state, those don't go away. Those are the same every month, month in, month out. Yes, Tom.
So, Mr. Chairman, devil's advocate.
Yes.
Let's say we do not fund this position.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to make it.
We'll make it, and I'll ask again next year.
And that's fine. And I wouldn't blame you.
I want to get the conversation started and so that I'm on your radar. Because so we have been stretched for about 3 years.
That's all. I just wanted to know
how big
it. I mean, you've been doing it for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm not saying that's my opinion or
right,
my feeling.
Right.
I just
yes. I mean, we'll do what we'll have
to
do.
Bring
we
that
just,
out.
We just keep working. But.
So, Mr. Chairman, so within the 3 years, how much extra help have you had to pay that would take away from the salary, if you would, of an extra full-time person?
We had Pam coming in frequently. She usually comes in probably a couple days a month. And then when Roxanna was here going back and forth to Jackson and Salt Lake, and if somebody was on vacation or if somebody called in sick, we'd have to call Pam. So I don't know what just Pam's salary has been for the last couple of years. Do you know that information, Carrie?
I think she ends up making about $30,000.
There you go.
Can I add something?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Whenever we did the cuts a few years ago, the position did get cut from Emily's budget. When Cindy quit and retired in our office, in my office, the funding didn't go away. The position was still there. But Mary didn't replace her, and we were stretched for that time. And when I came on in January, the funding was still there for my position, and I did fill it. And I can empathize with Emily that I know we were stretched. There was times when if you just hoped nothing, there was no family emergency or anything because you're going to leave just one or two people in the office. And so
what the numbers do tell you is that we probably have the most foot traffic and transactions per month in this building. And we have one of the smallest crews.
So back to Mr. Vickery's question. You have a reasonable estimate if there's 22 days of work a month, how many of those days of the month you would have somebody extra come in?
Right now?
Well, let's say in the last 6 months, whatever.
So?
Since you've been in charge?
I had Jessica gone for a week in May. I was gone for a week in March for spring break. Charlotte's going to be gone all of next week. Cassie took, I think, 3 days off in February and 4 days off, or 3 days off in April. So typically it's at least a week a month, and sometimes it's a little more.
That I have to have
someone come in and help cover because we don't have enough people in the office. Sometimes I just don't have anybody to come in and cover. Roxanna's gone, and Pam's gone all winter. She goes to Arizona for the winter. So there's times where there's just two of us, and we don't take lunch, and we don't take breaks, and we're just there all day.
In the past meetings, you've brought up one of the past employees that was you was considering talking to her and did talk to her, Deanne.
Mm-hmm.
How did that conversation
I talked to Deanne, and she would be interested, but she works for herself, and she also works for BOCES. So
her schedule's
patchy. I was gone for a week for treasurer's meetings, and I called her to see if she would be able to come in and cover, and she was unavailable. She was going to be gone that whole week for BOCES training or something. So she was gone. Roxanna was available two of those days. She had stuff on Monday, and so I had Pam come in on Monday and Roxanna come in on Tuesday and Wednesday, and then we left early in the morning on Thursday so we could be back here to cover at least once lunch has started, because that's where it really runs into a hiccup, is when people want to take lunch. You know, imagine that. But so we were back here by 11 o'clock that next morning. We left Thursday morning early so we could be back here on time for people to have lunches.
So I guess, Mr. Chairman, I guess where my question was leading was trying to balance the overtime or the outside help you would have to bring in versus the expense of a full-time employee. In other words, over the course of a year, I don't even remember what the numbers were, but if it's $60,000, were you going to make up part of that because you didn't have to pay folks to come in from the outside to cover for somebody?
Exactly. I wouldn't have to call anybody else in. That would just be part of the normal salary schedule. And right now, like I said, it was already scheduled for us to have $30,000, say, as an estimate to cover people coming in and working at random.
And so how much of that?
If I begin someone at a salary step one, I think the salary is like $36,000 a year, I think.
So would you feel comfortable getting rid of your part-time, that line item that covers that?
Absolutely. It would just go away.
It's not a line item. It's just
part. It's just part of the regular salary schedule. Yeah.
So
I wouldn't need it.
So in essence, your budget would reflect a $6,000 up.
I think it was 20,000. Is that right? It was 20 or 25.
Well, with the 30, time includes the 30 taken away.
And exactly. And that includes the benefits,
that includes
right?
The benefits. Okay.
It includes the benefits. And then since we talked about not having comp time, that does mean that if we don't have someone hired, we do have to have a buffer in there for overtime. Because like I said, there are days when we don't get lunch breaks. We just work all day. But if we were to have that extra person, I don't believe that that would be an issue.
So just in looking at this, like in 2017,
mm-hmm.
there was 24,000 transactions. 2018. No, I'm wrong.
Yeah, you have to. This is not a full year.
Right. This is 19.
Right. This is just today.
18. There was. Yeah. This is right. 19 today.
Yep.
18 is from here to here.
Right.
10,000 to almost 24,000 to about 10,000.
No.
That's the time you did eliminate one position, right?
Yep.
But,
no.
But Joel, see, this position is only 6 months.
June.
Yeah,
January
through June of 19.
Right.
Yeah, that's current.
So
but
that's
if you want to compare
total.
12-month
this is a total for 18.
No, this is the total for 18.
Yeah.
And then this number
that's
is
why
the total
these
for
two
17.
Numbers. This is the total number that was done in 2017. This is the total number that was done
right.
in 2018.
Oh, this is, a
this
total
is only
so
year-to-date.
For
so
years
this
month.
Is the okay. total so far of transactions for 2019.
Okay.
And it's, like I said, it's only 6 months worth. It's only through
right.
the 1st of June.
Yeah,
this is the total transactions that 18. We did for 17, and this, or sorry, 18, and this is the total for 17.
Okay, got it. But somewhere in there you eliminated.
Kay retired in 2016. It was a year before. Right. Yeah,
okay.
I didn't go all the way back to 16.
Because if you went back to 16, it should have been more yet.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't go back that far.
Yeah.
As it was, I was here till 8:30 last night. So, I mean, that was far enough.
Yeah.
But yeah, even if we could get approval to get a part-time person hired that would regularly come in every day from either, you know, 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock or something like that, or something like that, that would definitely be an option, and then that wouldn't cost
probably
anymore.
But is that person available?
Well, that's the challenge, is finding someone who's willing to work with no benefits and only part-time. And there are probably people out there that would be willing, but I really need... I need somebody that's regularly going to be available for me to be able to do this kind of stuff. And on top of it, my treasurer association is really wanting treasurers to become involved at the state level and as far as our association going to legislation meetings and things
that's
like
important.
That. It yeah, is, and it's
important.
Really hard to go to them. I told them I'd go to the Lander one, so I did go to the one in Lander that was 2 days, and I'd like to go to the one in Jackson. I'm not driving to Gillette. You can't make me. But the ones that are a reasonable distance away, I would really like to be able to go to those, but sometimes it's very challenging to make sure my office is covered so I can go.
Well, I would think that one of the ways, unless there's a problem that I'm not aware of in terms of trying to hire a part-time individual, I would be in favor of seeing making that the budget request for a half-time person. But it's still, as you say, it's going to be still difficult mm-hmm. not only to find the person you need, but willing to work the hours that you want.
Exactly.
But,
so last year her budget was 182,710. And that included having Cassie come in August?
She came in October,
okay,
1st of October.
For a transition. So they added some money to the budget last year. So, and then what I have here is what Emily's three full-time people would come to. So if she stays the same as she did last year, she still has room for a part-time person.
Yeah, if I was to stay at the 182,710,
that would cover your part-time person.
I don't know. Close.
Yeah.
And then if somebody took a vacation or whatever, we could have them work that full 40-hour week. Or someone called in sick because their kid is sick, and we've got somebody. You know, we've
fall back
got
to schedule,
a little.
Though. I mean,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, you
if
you
got children
know
and got
which
them
day
daycare,
you're
going to
need that person.
Right. Right. That's where the challenge comes in, is those unexpected absences where people.
So would the 222,710 cover that full-time
yes,
position?
Yes, absolutely.
With benefits?
I believe so.
Mm-hmm.
The benefits don't come out of her line item. They come out of the general fund.
And that would be
so
the 911.
That would
but
be
it still
so
has
it would.
Do you think there's an advantage to going with a
part-time position just to vet, I'll find in a good person that you could bump to a full-time position in the next year or so.
Possibly. I think the challenge you run into is that not everybody can work a part-time job.
Well, plus that, and you want somebody in a part-time that's extremely flexible.
Right.
In other words, you're part-time this week and full-time next week because somebody took off.
If you're offering benefits, they'll line up at the door.
Well, it's not offering benefits for part-time.
No, I understand
right,
that.
Exactly.
But if you have a job that has benefits, you will be able to pick and choose.
Salary.
Yes.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, so a lot of the issues and concerns go away if you just approve a full-time position. I mean, all those go away.
Are we voting?
Well, I'm asking, we're not voting on anything. I'm certainly asking your opinion.
Well, and I just did. My opinion is that if...
Are you in favor of...
A full-time position,
if we're
going to do that. Absolutely. Because... Yeah. You can dink around, and you may find somebody, you may not find somebody,
right.
But if we're going to get quality people to work for the county, they've got to have health benefits.
Okay, let's go at both ends of the table first. You said you're in favor. Are you in favor?
Well,
there's a method to this madness.
Not voting.
It's a discussion.
So, part of what follows this is, and Carrie can attest to this, that there literally is a 3-year learning curve in our offices. So it is not something where you just sit up and you say, okay, this is what you do all day. There's just no way. So when you invest that much training into a quality person and someone that will stay, but training a person is a part-time job in itself.
I'm trying to get a straw vote or opinion of who's moving forward with this.
Okay, so here's the issue that I would see with part-time.
That wasn't the question.
Yeah, I'm going to answer it in my own way.
I didn't bring my pillow.
Look, we've been here since 30 minutes.
Yeah, I know.
We'll put this meeting off again.
So if you get up in the morning and somebody calls in sick, you get on the phone and call your part-time person. Well, I've got a job today. Or next week, I could use you all week. Well, next week, I've also got a job. So yes, if you want to know what my answer is, I think the option is just one. Let her look for...
You're in favor of a full-time
position. I would be.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Noble.
I'm going to make my statement first, too, then. Is I campaigned on not
spending
no more government.
Money.
Bigger government. Drives me crazy.
Me, too.
But that's my own internal conflict. This makes sense. So have at it.
Well, I'm going to say, like I said the other day, there's a lot more that you are aware of in this office than you
know
before you got in this office.
So it goes, yeah.
Yeah, I'm the chairman, I get the vote last. I'm in favor of it, but Joel, how do you feel?
I hope to win. I think the direction to Carrie's put it in the budget.
Yeah. So that's a straw vote.
Perfect.
After.
And Tom, I agree with you. If I didn't need somebody desperately, if, for instance, Sharla has had nosebleeds every day and ended up in the hospital because of stress, her nose starts bleeding and she can't get it to stop. She was in the bathroom for an hour yesterday. Stress-related.
I hope not. part of my decision is based on the fact
that stress level's high.
Your office used to have that many people in it, and it was requested to downsize because of our budgetary concerns.
Exactly.
Knowing full well that the workload didn't go away and in all likelihood has increased, that's what I'm basing my decision on. Yes, I know that, in fact, it is not only adding to expenses and growing government, but I suppose if we look back at where it was 4 years ago, we could say you're at the same level that you were then.
So, Mr. Chairman, I think the message should be we are inclined to give this favorable consideration, and I don't want to see it come out in the paper next week that we made a decision.
We haven't made a decision.
This is part of what we got
10 more minutes to do, and all day tomorrow, we are going to have to start addressing opinions on what's been presented to us. So, Thank you, and we'll get on with our business.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate your opinions.
Well, I think it's only fair that the individuals get a read of where the commission's going, because when they leave here, they still don't know if they're gonna, it's okay or not okay.
Well, but neither do we.
Well, I think we're going down that road.
Well, we're getting ready to go down that road. We'll see how fast we progress.
This will be the scary part when we get to the end and we find out that we're $2.7 million over. Then we.
That's when the fun part.
That's
when you get to say no.
Well.
Well, then that's when you have to decide what gets cut out.
Right.
Sure.
Absolutely. Exactly. Yep.
And that's the difficult part of the whole process.
Yeah, there's no easy.
Undoubtedly, we're spending more money than we had. We've had more requests than we anticipated in terms of spending.
Well, when we started out on Monday, based on my recommendations, we were still $588,000 over budget from last year. And today, I learned we have another whole $1.5 million road to account for.
Mm-hmm. Plus all the other times that
we've
been inclined to fund more than your recommendation.
Yes.
And there were several of them.
There were.
And that's why I want to emphasize in our message that regardless of what our budget is, if it's $3 million more than it was last year, I guess what our concerns is, the budget is a working tool. What we're looking at is still trying to come in under budget, which we have historically done in the last several years. So, yeah, I have that concern because based on what you just said, and based on what Mr. Bousman just said, I can see us being $3 million over what we agreed to last year.
And that's without the reserve accounts.
Yes.
Thank you, Emily.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
If you have any further questions, let me know.
Can I ask a question?
Refreshments? No.
This is about tech.
Yeah.
IT.
Yeah.
IT may be the biggest budget that we have. Increase.
It is.
And why it increased is because it was all subtracted from everybody else's budget, whether it be their computers or whatever.
But not near to that amount.
But
the main thing is the other people's budgets didn't go up to account for those. They didn't have it budgeted already.
Yeah, but what
some of them did.
They had it budgeted from last year.
They didn't have to raise their budget to acquire those IT items.
Right.
So their budget should have stayed the same without the IT stuff. Okay.
Some of it might have gone down because maybe they did budget for computers before and they won't need them this year.
Right.
Not really aware of any that did.
Okay. I didn't go back and look. But that's a huge increase, but we all explained it. We all understood it. But then I wanted to know if somebody had $200,000 in their budget and there was IT in there. Well, the IT got taken out and put in Mike's budget, but their budget stayed at $200,000.
Hey, Mac, the word is taken, not taken.
Well, taken, it doesn't matter.
Well, it does. Yeah. Taken is correct grammar.
I was a woodshop teacher.
So that's one of your concerns.
That's the paper.
Well, and I don't know how to explain. I'll look tonight.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Joel, what do you have in terms of concerns right now in terms of budget discussions we've had? Anything pressing?
Nothing pressing. I think we need to, some of those that were well above and beyond last year's, I think we need to, at some point, we need to let Carrie know what to put in so there's a number there for the budget here.
And I think we're going to begin that in the morning. Aren't you going to have a kind of a flow sheet for us to look at in terms of those requests and those numbers so we can get more specific instead of going from memory at this point? I guess what I'm asking now, is there anything that's giving you, whether it's heartburn or whether it's the opposite in terms of having that desire to see it move forward in terms of budget request? In other words, is there anything that you're strongly in favor of or want to speak out to, or on the other hand, strongly not in favor of. The rest of it, I mean, we're going to be getting into that tomorrow when Carrie gives us that sheet, and we'll be going line item, not line item, but budget request to see what the request is and what we think we're going to be moving towards. But
I think with our departments, I'm pretty comfortable. Only I'm a little inclined to be worried about some of the nonprofits' requests, but I think we'll get that addressed tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And not because they don't do wonderful things, but because it's not necessarily a responsibility of government to fund in the first place.
Okay.
Plus the fact that those kinds of entities, it's good if you can have a varied source of funding.
Okay.
So, you know, like from the towns and that sort of thing. And I think our offer to the visitor center was...
Well, I hope left...
The recommendation, if we had to make one now, would be for Carrie to put the money in the budget with the understanding that there's $10,000 there that's not going to get spent unless there's some match money to
right.
go with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would leave it the same, and then if there's match money, we would start paying their utilities, basically?
Well...
You'd have to leave it the same. You'd have
yeah.
to do a budget mm-hmm. transfer
yeah.
to meet the match money requirement.
Mm-hmm.
But just because we budgeted doesn't mean we have to spend
so,
it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, leave it the same.
Yeah.
So yeah, it will be inherent upon them to come up with enough if they want the full 10.
That was our intent.
Oh, and I yeah. would hope that we would get an email or somebody would show up here with a big smile on their face saying thanks for the 10 or the utilities, we got our match from whomever.
I'm still having difficulty with what you put in the budget, because I understand the contingency idea, but you're talking about putting in there's two different things. You mentioned utilities, which is an additional $10,000, and then we have their budget, which was $28,000 that we were going to reduce by $10,000.
Well, if we paid their utilities, it would come out of that line item. Okay? Instead of coming out of courthouse utilities, it would come out of visitor center utilities.
Out of the $28,000?
Yes.
Out of the $28,000.
Yeah. So we would reduce that 28 by 10 and then send them their check on that divided by the 12, okay, because they get a check every
right.
month. But then when the utility bill comes in, then it would come out of that line item too.
But that's what I'm saying. We're reducing it by 10, but we're not really reducing it by anything. And if we don't get a match from the towns or whatever, we're still giving them a $10,000 is what I'm saying by doing that. There's no, we're not working the contingency in there. So if we take $10,000 out of the $28,000 budget and create a line item for utilities, if the towns don't put in anything and we pay the utilities, we're still paying them $28,000.
That's right. Right. And I didn't think that was the agreement.
No.
I didn't either.
No.
So 18,422 divided by 12 is 1535. That's what they would get every month because we've reduced them by 10. Right?
Right.
If they get their match, and then we start paying the utilities.
But what if they don't get their match? We don't pay the utilities?
Right.
Well, see, that wasn't stated. I don't know how you do that in the budget. But the utilities would be based on them getting the match. Because it doesn't matter to me. It's $10,000 where you pay them in utilities or keep it in their budget. It doesn't matter to me. What the commission was saying was if we're going to go forward with not reducing your budget by $10,000, we'll reduce that by the amount that you get in terms of match money from the towns.
So are you saying that you would like a line item, you would like the visitor center line item to reflect 18,422 and then another line item to reflect a possible $10,000 in utilities?
If the key word is possible,
okay.
I don't know. I think the message is, we're talking about $10,000, and if you're making a budget, and you can't make it until you get that decision, then however you can figure it out. But the message is,
I see where you're going with this, but if you just leave the 28,000 in there, if they get their match, then that's the budget. If they don't, then 10,000 of it will carry over next year. You don't have to pay it out. It'll just carry over.
But you told them you put that much money in their budget, and we're not if we don't get the...
If we don't get the match. If somebody comes up with a $5,000 match, we're going to give them $5,000.
I'm aware of that, but just because it's in that line item doesn't mean they're going to get it. They're
oh,
going
really?
To go off of what we state.
Really?
Am I wrong?
Well...
I mean, look how many other line items if we got that they don't get.
Well, but if we tell them we approve their budget request to $28,000, I think that tells me we got to give them what we approved in their mm-hmm. budget request.
We don't pay them $28,000.
I understand that.
Okay, in one check.
Right,
I understand that.
Okay. Yeah.
But I don't know how to make it. If y'all can help me, where it's not as confusing, I'm trying to be pretty straightforward.
Well, I understand, but I think you have a little bit of time for them to get back to you here, you know.
I do too.
But, you know, it's like you put $60,000 in for the predator board. We don't, mm-hmm. you know, but we voucher that as it goes. You know, we do have, when that budget is finalized, we do believe that we're going to get that $60,000 if we spend that much money. But, you know... But so you've have done a deal with us that it's
you have
we
a cap.
Have to yeah
you have a cap.
Yeah that we but so we know that that's what that is. So we know that we have to spend the money first, do the work, and then it's vouchered out. So this would in effect be you doing a deal with the visitor center that you told them if they did this that they got this, you know, or if they did this they would get this, you know. So you would just have to make clear to them, and I guess it would be very important for them to get back with you before your budget is adopted in the first place, but to be at that budget hearing and your budget adoption meeting.
What threw a kink in it to me was the utilities. I didn't even think of utilities, but when you looked at the piece of paper, the utilities was the same amount of money that was equal to what we were going to give them.
Right.
So someone, it might even been me, said, well, let's just pay their utilities and we won't worry about giving them any money. And that confuses it.
Well, but it would be the same thing.
Well, sure it would be, but it's just confusing to try to figure it out. So I think Kat's exactly right. Let's wait to see. I got to believe they're coming back, and they're going to come back with a smile on their face because they're going to wind up getting $20,000, $10,000 from whomever, and $10,000 from us.
Or the utility bill paid.
Yeah, whatever.
But in the end, Carrie's your budget officer, and you probably ought to do whatever she is most, let her put the number in that she is the most comfortable with, and then just make it clear during your budget hearing and adoption that that's what the deal is. That this
I have
is
no
not,
problem with that.
Yeah,
you know,
I don't either. Yeah.
Yeah. Ambiguity. And,
yeah.
Make sure that
and
that's
I guess
message.
What we need, what it boils down to is, at this point in time, would probably be a good idea to put the visitor center at 18,422 with the second line item under there for $10,000 called grant, utilities, or whatever. But
that would allow you to track that.
But as long as you got it, I think that's the key.
Yeah, as long as it meets our intent.
Yes, absolutely.
And I'm able to budget for it. Because I can't budget, well, if you get this, you get this. If you don't, you don't.
Yeah. Understand.
Okay, do we still have a couple yeah. items to go over before Commissioner Bowser leaves?
I've done, but
you're done?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I guess something that comes to my mind, and this is just a talking point, the rec board with their $60,000 for the golf course, where's everybody standing with that one? It is a county facility, and they are struggling with equipment. It's no different if we took all of Billy's graders away. But I'm not, it's a talking point. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I just had trouble with the analogy.
The analogy, why?
Because
how do they mow a lawn without a lawnmower?
Well, that's not eight graders.
just let it go, Lloyd.
How do you mow a lawn without a lawnmower?
Coats?
So it's a talking point. Yeah. Do what you want with that, Mr. Chairman.
See, and I don't have a problem with the talking point. You know, what scares me is the end result of the total of everything we're talking about, 60,000 here, 20,000 here, 10,000 here, all of a sudden we're $3 million over the budget.
Or five.
Yeah. Well, and then what do we do?
If you want to look at it from that standpoint, you and Doc spoke very highly of helping the airport hire an FBO, which none of us disagreed with directly, but...
You're absolutely correct. It goes everywhere. Yeah.
Well, it goes back to priorities in terms of and it's a matter of which priority, which carries more emphasis. You know, if you got all these requests and you're going to have to limit your spending, it's going to be up to us to decide where the priorities is. Is it more important to keep the Big Piney Airport Board open or buy a lawnmower? Now, I don't disagree with you. If it is a county facility and if they need equipment to run it, it should be in the request.
It's no different than Paul when the air conditioner was broke. We should have known about that.
But it wasn't, I guess the concern I have with, if we're going to stay with the rec board, is that it wasn't in their initial budget request. It was put in as additional request.
Because of the other two.
Because of gas.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which at that point, none of us were aware of their problem.
Right.
Now we are.
But
so
they should have made the rec board aware of it early on. But maybe they didn't.
Well, maybe they did.
I think they've been at the rec board for 2 years, maybe three in a row now for that problem.
So if the rec board doesn't think it's a priority, I'm not sure we ought to overrule them and say, no, we disagree, we're going to give them the money anyway.
I'm not falling on the sword either way. I'm just pointing out.
Can I say something? On that request that the rec board or that the golf course sent in, I have a little bit of issue with that because on their list, they show that they're paying Pinedale Natural Gas and we pay that bill. So I...
On the rec board thing?
Not rec board.
The other. There's the thing
golf
on the
course.
For the golf course.
So, I mean...
Oh.
I'm not sure about their numbers there.
Well, let's address that. Do you mind calling them?
Not today.
Not today, I'm aware of that.
Well, are we going to look at that or not? If we're going to look at it, then yes. But I'm just letting you know, that accounting, it's in other. On the
other?
Yeah, it's under other.
After the non-profit, you got the very end on other.
Right. I saw other.
Paper. It had the three.
Here it is, right here.
Had the swimming pool, the golf course.
Course supplies, equipment maintenance, utilities, facility maintenance.
There were three different entities there. That's all I can remember.
This should be under other.
The other way down there it is, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, towards the end of nonprofit, towards the very end.
Is it below the, must be below the 4-H stuff?
It's right past the conservation district.
So it's under their budget, golf course budget, gas and electric. We pay the gas bill.
How much was it?
They listed it at $14,000. But it typically runs about $600. I'll have to double check. So, anyway, in considering that, I would like to look at that closer if we were going to.
Well, I think that's legitimate.
Well, if we're just discussing, and that's what we're doing, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so going back to golf course, that seems to be the topic of discussion.
Yeah, I just brought it up for this reason solely.
So, I hate to bring up a beat on a dead dog or a dead horse or whatever, but...
Oh, I know where you're going.
But the gentleman that's got the contract down there for the cafe purchased that darn walk-in cooler on his own to help with the operation down there. So if that's the case, we're talking about one thing here, why wouldn't something like that be an appropriate expenditure for the county? It's their facility, mm-hmm. and we rent it out or lease it out or to whomever from year after year after year. I guess that's how it's been working. You have people that want it or don't want it. Those who want it make an offer and away they go. But in this case, it's not fully utilized in some regards because you can't, because there's no darn freezer there, or walk-in cooler there.
Well, let me ask this question because I don't know. But aren't they making revenues out of what they put in those freezers?
Well, I'm sure that is correct, but they're also serving a large contingent based upon being able to provide some of those services. I mean, it's the same thing as, in my mind at least, the same thing as air conditioning unit. The county, if the county owns a facility, they either should be or not be responsible for the components that make that facility a viable part of whatever that operation is. One way or the other, I don't think it should be upon an individual, whether it's me or whomever, to have to provide equipment in a county-owned facility that they are leasing to help with their lease, so to speak. I'm just throwing that out there as a talking point.
So I guess I understand where Doug's coming from, but that said, they made an offer and they leased it based on whatever was available in the premises. And then they must have decided we could increase our profit. If I go out and buy a freezer, I'm going to build up my business, increase my revenue by this amount, with the intent that if they leave, you can bet that freezer's leaving with them.
More than likely, it'd be like Butcher's trailer, I'm sure.
So if we're going to increase their ability to make a profit, maybe we should increase the rent along with it. Just something to think about. I don't know the answer
to Mr. it. Chairman, I have a solution to this, but I will not talk about it today. It's as far as I'm going to go.
So, Mr. Chairman, before I go, two things. One, back to the airport board. I think it would be more beneficial that, and I don't object to provide some money to help with an FBO, but I think the problem is much bigger than that. And I think they need some professional consultant that can help them figure out how to make an FBO work, why, you know, to better address, expand the operations. I mean, I think the problem is bigger than just not having an FBO. And if we just give them money and say, go hire an FBO, I'm afraid they're going to have the same problem they've always had with an FBO.
Yeah, and I agree with it. I went into, after yesterday's conversation, wasn't in of the opinion we ought to just throw out the money for the FBO. I talked with Mayor Robinson yesterday. The intent is to have them come to both mayors and the airport board come to our meeting next month. And one thing that will be discussed at that time is how do we, the county, the two towns, whatever, go about trying to get maybe a consultant to come in, evaluate it, tell them what they need, and go from there with the idea of you guys need to share the cost of that.
They have emailed me to get on the agenda.
Okay,
good. That's the next step on that one.
Yeah.
So I don't. The consultant may be a great thing, but by the time you're done paying for the consultant, you could have bought an FBL.
Well, you could be right, yeah.
I'd like to weigh those numbers, because we're going to throw money at a consultant full of advice that may be feasible or not. We may be able to do the same thing in the FBO for less.
Who's the FBO person at the airport in Pinedale?
Douglas.
Well, he's got to belong to an organization of some sort.
Yeah.
John's an employee of the guy that got the FBO contract. The guy that has the FBO contract is a different name.
Well, I thought John was down here.
He is. But that same guy may want the FBO there, and he'll put another employee over there. Because he's out of Denver, I want to say.
I don't know.
just need to figure out how to get John Douglas to go ahead and
take them both. But they're two different town, I mean, entities.
Well, I had a little talk with
Ben Robinson,
too. I don't know the answer.
I
do have another idea I want to run by you. If we were talking or walking back over about healthcare.
Oh, okay.
But I don't need to bring it up here.
Okay, super.
If it's feasible.
Just don't let me forget.
I'm all ears. I'm all ears.
It may be, if they'll take it. Of course, it'd be enough for us if Paddy will pick over the golf course.
But the scary part about it is, it ain't up to us.
That's right.
But I want to be on the team that helps it be successful. That's my part.
One thing I want you guys to keep in mind, because Joel's got to go. Tomorrow we are going to be talking about how we line item budget reserves. And what I want you to be thinking about is what are your priorities in terms of that? What are concerns for future needs? Because we may be realigning or readjusting. I know I've got some ideas in terms of budget reserves. So we're going to have that discussion in the morning. I knew it was going to happen.
Hey, you know what? That happened to me, and it's pretty easy to fix. But don't do it all at once, because you can't. Just do it a few. Just do it a few pieces of paper at a time.
So,
are we finished?
Yes.
Yes, we are.
Okay. But they're not. They're not lined out.